'Tis the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la. And 'tis the season to be in debt. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and it is the most expensive time of the year. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Just look at all the festive charges that are showing up on your credit card bills. The wise men celebrated Christmas by bringing gifts of gold and incense and myrrh to the baby Jesus in the manger. I don't know how wise it is, but we still spend a lot of money on Christmas. According to the American Research Group, the average American planned on spending $929 last Christmas. Wow. The cost of Christmas is even higher for all the parents out there. According to data from T. Rowe Price, parents planned on spending an average of, and I have a hard time believing this number, spending an average of $422 per child last Christmas. I have never been so pleased to discover that I'm below average. $422 is an insane amount of money. And that's coming from someone who grew up in Bellevue. That's not right. Okay? That's not right. 34% of American parents planned on spending more than $500 on Christmas gifts last Christmas. 34%. Wow. That is a lot of money to spend on a poor little baby, to celebrate a poor little baby who was born in a manger, right? Jesus was born in a barn, and we're spending that kind of money to remember his birthday. I don't know. According to the Motley Fool website, 56% of Americans plan to rack up Christmas debt in 2016. More than half Americans wanted to go into debt last year over Christmas. 16% of Americans took more than 6 months to pay off the debt that they incurred over Christmas. So they're still paying for Christmas in June and July, if you can imagine that, last year. Maybe some of you can't imagine it. A quarter of Americans dipped into their 401ks or their emergency savings, or they took out a high interest payday loan so that they could buy Christmas gifts last year. That doesn't sound like the spending behavior of wise men. That doesn't sound like the spending behavior of wise women. This morning, I want you to picture a Christmas miracle. I want you to envision a note under the tree that promised to cover all your Christmas debt this year. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. That sounds pretty good. Can you imagine some anonymous donor paying off all your credit card debts this Christmas? All those expensive gifts, all that consumer debt, all your impulsive Christmas spending suddenly paid off in full. It sounds too good to be true. Who can imagine grace like that? Today, we're going to open up the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah had that kind of imagination. Isaiah could dream like that. Now, he wasn't dreaming about Christmas gifts. Jesus wouldn't be born for another 700 years. When Isaiah talks about free grace, he's talking about a free meal where you can eat as much as you want and you don't have to pick up the bill. He says, drink all the wine you want, drink all the milk you want. This comes free. You don't have to pay for it. Wow. Isaiah says, remember all those mistakes of your past? All the times you messed up? All the time you hurt someone's feelings, all the time you did the wrong thing. Imagine someone paying the price for your mistakes. And it's not you. It's not you. That's the Christmas miracle. That little baby born in a manger was the answer to Isaiah's crazy dream of grace. That we were going to get something for nothing, that God was going to pay the ultimate sacrifice to cover the debt you just can't cover. We're going to hear Isaiah's wondrous dream from chapter 55 right now about a grace, a forgiveness, mercy that is worth more than all the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that the world has to offer. Hear the good news that Jesus came to cover our debt. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 13. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Pay special attention to this. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. God's word. Have you noticed that so many of our favorite Christmas stories end with a great feast, right? Charles Dickens, right? A Christmas Carol, the original. This is where we started writing novels about Christmas. Charles Dickens, how does he end his novel? Ebenezer Scrooge, he buys the prize turkey, the one that's so big that no one can afford it, and he sends it to the house of his worker, Bob Cratchit. Ah, what a feast, right? A more modern classic, The Grinch That Stole Christmas, right? Dr. Seuss. He taught me to read, probably taught you to read too, right? Dr. Seuss. The Grinch. End of the story. What happens? He brings back all the who hash. He brings back all the who pudding he stole. And he ends the book getting to carve the roast beast. What a great story, right? And then, the real modern classic today, the movie A Christmas Story. You know, the kid, Red Ryder, BB Gun, you know that story, right? So how does that movie end? A bunch of bloodhounds burst in the door, and they steal the old man's turkey. How does the movie end? Ralphie and his family, they got to go downtown to the Chop Suey Palace, and they get a roast duck that's still smiling at them. Chop! And they get to feast. It's just not Christmas without a great feast, right? What's on your menu this Christmas, huh? Ham? Turkey? Something traditional like that? Are you going to pull salmon out of the freezer? Will there be grandma's lutefisk at the Christmas table this year? If so, you don't need to invite me. That's quite all right. I've got plans. I've already had that. It does preserve long life, though. You only ever see old people eating this, you know, the lutefisk. It does preserve life. It's something about that. I don't know. Will there be mashed potatoes? Will there be candied yams? Will there be apple cobbler? Will there be pumpkin pie? What kind of Christmas cookies, huh? What is the food that tastes like Christmas in your family? Are you thinking of that food? Think about that food that tastes right at Christmas time. According to the American Farm Bureau, the average American Christmas dinner cost $50.11 last year. It's the first time in American history that the Christmas dinner cost more than 50 bucks. The American Farm Bureau said, yeah, tack on another 30 bucks for your drinks, your appetizers, all the snacks you're going to eat on Christmas Day. 80 bucks. Sounds like a bargain compared to all the spending I was talking about earlier on Christmas Day, huh? I mean, 80 bucks isn't all that bad compared to the $929 a person. In today's scripture, the prophet Isaiah tells us, put away your wallets. Your money, it's no good here. God is cooking up something special for you to eat that is absolutely free. In today's scripture, the prophet Isaiah, all the Old Testament scholars, they say he sounds like he's a food vendor, you know, a Middle Eastern food vendor trying to get you to take a free sample of his hummus or a free sample of his falafel. Come, try my stuff for free, okay? He sounds like an old-fashioned street evangelist who's standing on a soapbox saying, I got something for you that is absolutely free. The pitch comes fast and furious like those guys on the Home Shopping Network. This is kind of like a sham wow pitch, guys. He's coming after you fast and furious. It all sounds too good to be true. But the prophet Isaiah is not another huckster who's trying to separate you from your money. He's trying to give you something that is absolutely free, straight from God. We call this stuff grace. The grace of God, which comes absolutely free. Isaiah declares, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. The prophet inquires, why spend money on what is not bread and labor, which does not satisfy? That's a good question this Christmas, huh? Isaiah proclaims, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Isaiah is not selling anything. Isaiah wants to give you something that is absolutely free. He wants you to be reconciled with this God who has something for you he has paid the price for that you never can, you never could. Let God give you something free this Christmas season. Now, all this talk about food makes my tummy grumbly, but Isaiah had a much bigger agenda than just filling our bellies. Today's scripture is filled with all this poetic language designed to get you hungry for God's grace, to get you thirsty for God's mercy. No matter how we stuff ourselves on the Christmas buffet, I don't care how much stuff is on the table, you're going to be hungry the next day, right? What Isaiah is offering you is a lifetime supply of mercy, a lifetime supply of forgiveness, a lifetime supply of grace. And you can keep going back to it again and again. And you never have that hunger in your gut anymore for a second chance because it's already there. The prophet Isaiah promises that God is going to fill you up with every good thing. Just as the rain falls from the sky, you can count on the grace of God to quench your thirst. Just as the earth produces seed for the sower and bread for the eater, that's me, you can trust the grace of God to fill you up permanently. Isaiah says that his word, the word of God, does not return empty. God is a really good host. And once you sit at the Lord's banquet table, God's love, God's mercy, and God's forgiveness will fulfill their divine purposes in you. The heart of today's passage is verse 7. Isaiah promises, "Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." This is a radical promise to a people who, because of their rebellion to God, because they were worshiping false idols, because they were engaged in all manner of immorality, because they failed to take care of the poor, they were suddenly strangers in a strange land. And Isaiah is saying to these people who are so broken, who are so messed up, who are knuckleheads, he's saying, "Guys, I got something here for you that is free. And once you accept it, you will never lose this gift of grace." Now, we are Christians, and we believe that Isaiah's promise of this free lunch, of this free grace, was realized when that little baby was born in a humble manger 700 years after Isaiah made these poetic words, these prophetic words. Jesus grew up, that little baby Jesus grew up to preach exactly what Isaiah is talking about in today's text. Jesus taught, repent, turn around, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus also proclaimed that the Messiah, this is how he's going to pay for our meal, our eternal banquet feast with God. The Messiah, which is what Isaiah is talking about with all that David stuff in today's passage, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. What's happening here is that Jesus, following Isaiah's lead in chapter 55, is reversing all the old expectations on religion. No longer is it about you making the right sacrifice at the right time in the right way that is a fragrant offering to the God and you please God. Okay? It's no longer about making the right sacrifice. Jesus says, "I will be that sacrifice. Perfect. You don't need any more sacrifices." And no longer is it about, "Oh, I really messed up. I probably should give a little extra to church or give money to the temple to make myself righteous before God." No! Jesus has paid the price for your sins. It's covered. You're good. Your money, it's no good here for that. It's good for other things, keeps the lights on. That's good. But it doesn't cover your sins. Jesus took care of that. And no longer is it about you following the law, getting all the rules just right so that you will be righteous and you will earn your place at the table of God like a good little Christian child. No! You get to come to the table as rotten as you are, as rotten as I am, not because you did the right thing, but because you found the right Savior who's able to get you right with God the Father Almighty through his love and his mercy. And the word for today, grace. Jesus reversed all of our expectations on religion, which is what Isaiah is talking about 700 years in advance. You cannot earn your salvation. You cannot earn your place at God's table. All God wants from you is that you put your faith in this Jesus Christ. And yes, show some gratitude for what has been given to you. You've gotten grace. Give that grace to others. That's important too. But you're the guest. Rely on the hospitality of God, which is free, undeserved grace. In his excellent book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey tells the story about what makes Christianity so different from all the other religions in the world. There is a British conference on comparative religion, so they're talking about what makes different the religions different from one another, right? All these academics, all these scholars. And they were debating about whether there is anything truly unique about Christianity. They began eliminating possibilities. The incarnation, Jesus coming in the flesh, God in the flesh. Well, other religions have stories about gods that took on human flesh. Oh, that's not unique, the scholars said. Or how about the resurrection? Again, these scholars were like, well, there are other stories where someone rose from the dead. That's not unique to Christianity. The debate was raging, going on and until C.S. Lewis walked into the room. My hero, C.S. Lewis. And in that C.S. Lewis kind of way that you read in the Chronicles of Narnia or Mere Christianity, he said, "What's the rumpus about?" Isn't that a C.S. Lewis word? Rumpus. I like that. And he heard in reply that his colleagues were debating about whether Christianity had anything about it that was unique among all the religions in the world. In his forthright manner, Lewis responded, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace." After some discussion, all those scholars, all those academics had to agree. The notion of God's love coming to us free of charge, no strings attached, free lunch, seems to go against every instinct of humanity. The Buddhist Eightfold Path, the Hindu doctrine of karma, the Jewish covenant, the Muslim code of law, each of these is about earning your approval with God. Only Christianity dares to say that God's love is unconditional. This is the gift of Christmas. You get something for nothing. And it's worth a lot more than all the debt you're going to put on your Christmas card, credit card bill this year. It's worth a lot more than anything that's going to end up under your tree this Christmas season. You see, everyone is invited to a free meal at the table in the kingdom of God. This is a place that has a seat waiting for you. If only you will believe in Jesus, if only you will show some gratitude to Christ the King. Skeptics may argue that there is no such thing as a free lunch in this world. But the gospel teaches us that we can only taste salvation when we understand that it is free. You can only understand Christmas when you get that you are the guest, that God is the host. And at God's table, your money is no good. At God's table, your good works didn't earn you your seat. It's only by mercy. I need it. You need it. We all need this grace of God. Nobody can afford the price of admission at the heavenly banquet. Only Jesus could pay that price. Nobody can earn their spot in the company of God. Only Jesus could make a space for you. If you want to belong at the heavenly, eternal banquet, you have to accept that this salvation is a free gift from God. The world tells us that if you want to enjoy Christmas, you have to spend a lot of money. I like Christmas gifts. I know you do too. It's okay. But the idea that you're going to spend your way into a happy Christmas is a contradiction of the original Christmas story. And it's a contradiction of the gospel that says, hey, this is free. This came without any cost, without any strings, without any bill at the end of lunch. God the Father allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to be born in a humble manger and to die on a despised cross so that we would know, oh yes, this grace did not come free for him, but it has to come free to you. Stop trying to earn your spot at the table with your good works. Do good works out of gratitude to God, sure. But stop trying to earn your place at that table. And stop trying to buy Christmas. You can't buy the grace of Christmas, just as you can't buy your seat at the table of God's grace. This holiday season, remember that the only Christmas gift that ever really matters is that this little baby born in a manger came to die for you, came to save you, came to reconcile you with a God who loves you so much that the mercy comes absolutely free. That's Christmas. It's not what's in the box. It's not what's in the bow. It's a little baby who was born in the messiest of environments for some reason. The good news this Christmas is that it's absolutely free. The cost has been paid. Rely on this grace. It is your only hope of salvation.